The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
Settles in your soul.
Does. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I'm here with Gwen Carpenter. How are you, buddy?
I'm good, and I'm here with Terry Raposa. How are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing okay.
Good, good.
By golly. Looks like you got a little treat there, huh?
Yeah, some sweet ladies have made some treat that they used their favorite courier to deliver it. Thank you, Terry.
That's your secret, your secret little carrier right there.
Yeah, I guess so. That's awesome.
Anyway, we are here broadcasting live as Jefferson State of Mind.
M-I-N-E.
Mm-hmm. Casey in our studios in downtown Reading.
And Janet's off with her family today. She's having family time, which we totally want her to be doing. So.
Yeah, but we miss her.
We do.
We miss you.
So we're going to do our best to stay in the within the lines.
We will. You can listen in at KCNR. 1460 AM, 96.5 FM, where the music does sound better. We are your talk radio, and you can also listen live because we
broadcast
everywhere.
Everywhere.
Everywhere in the world at KCNR1460.com. That's KCNR1460.com. And if you have a question or a comment, the number is 530-605-4567. And we are here with our trusted producer, Dave. I've got a question for you, buddy. When people call in, do we just have the one line, or can you actually get, how's that working now?
We could do two lines if we used Skype or some other form of, you know, but if it's telephone lines, you know, this is an old telephone line thing, so you can't merge a call. Now, if they merge on their end and then call.
Yeah. Okay.
So if they do a...
Let me ask you this. Can somebody be on hold while somebody is... We can do that anyway on the phone line now.
Yeah.
Okay. So that means if you call in to 605-4567, you can be put on hold if there's someone on ahead of you. But I know that usually the callers can't hear each other. Usually that's an issue for the people calling. So they'll be able to hear what's going on the show, but you really can't hear the other caller too well.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's one at a time.
Yeah,
one caller at a time, unless they do a conference call,
and then they
and then call
together.
Us.
Yep. Gotcha.
Now that could get dangerous.
Good job. Anyway, I wanted to get that out of the way.
Okay, you did it.
Good. And we also archive, if you can't hear this, we archive forever.
And ever and ever. Amen.
Yep. Okay, I kind of wanted to start this off this morning. I've got a question that I want to send out to everybody. Andrew, I hope you're listening. Jimmy, I hope you're listening, because these are two guys who might be able to answer this. There's been an executive order by the president, and the executive order basically says that the federal government will not give money to a state in a federal election that actually doesn't allow photo ID. In fact, they have to have photo ID. Now, I'm trying to figure out where the president has that jurisdiction, one, and I'll talk about that in a minute with Wynn. And the second part of that is that would that mean that all the counties in every state would have to separate the ballots between federal and local? So, anyway, how does he have the jurisdiction? That's what I'm trying to figure out, because according to the Constitution of the United States, the president doesn't have jurisdiction to change anything. As far as voting goes, Section 4 of Article 1 of the United States Constitution, the times, places, and manner of holding elections for senators and representatives shall be prescribed in each state by the legislature thereof, which means the state. State legislature body. But the Congress, at any time, by law, make or alter such regulations, except as to the places of choosing senators. Now, you can make a law, but it's Congress who makes the law. How does the President have jurisdiction to say, I'm signing an executive order to make the states comply with voter ID, and if they don't comply, we're not going to give them money? Does the purse strings belong to Congress, don't they? Doesn't all that jurisdiction belong to Congress? So I'd love it if somebody would clear me up on that one, because I really can't. I know Wynn's checking his phone out here. And, I mean, I'm trying to figure out how the President even has jurisdiction to make that executive order. I'm not disagreeing with with his executive order or his thinking. I just don't know where his jurisdiction is. So, I mean, I don't see it anywhere.
You said Article 4, Section 3?
Nope. I said Article 1, Section 4.
Oh, I got it all backwards.
Yeah, 4-3 is state split.
That's
okay.
That's
right,
like,
buddy.
Wait,
your mind's on it. That's okay.
Okay. Article 1, Section
4.
Okay. And that's what I fouled up. I was,
yeah, that's what it says.
Through.
The times, places, and manner of holding elections for senators and representatives shall be prescribed in each state by the legislature thereof.
Mm-hmm.
But Congress may at any time by law make or alter such regulations. Well, how does the President fit in there? And if he's withholding, there we go, we got a phone ringing. I hope
maybe by just putting it out there, has he actually signed that executive
the
order?
The news said he signed an executive order. Yeah, you don't have an executive order that you don't sign. That's when it becomes an executive order.
Well, no, I'm just asking. Did he actually sign it, or is he saying that he's going to sign it and is just kind of...
I heard he signed it.
You heard he signed it.
No. He signed it. We got Andrew on the line whenever you're
oh,
ready.
Good. Thank God. Andrew.
Good morning, Andrew.
Help us out here, brother.
Beats me. I say we call Janet. I have her number.
Janet would agree with me, so go ahead.
No. I really don't know. I think Janet would know. She's more adept at these things than you or I are. We're just,
We're just men. Yeah. No, we've talked about this before. So, see, the jurisdiction, I don't see any jurisdiction for the President here on any of that. He has to get Congress's permission. He can't say, I'm withholding money. Hey, Congress, withhold that money. Where does he have that jurisdiction? The purse strings are handled by Congress, not by the President.
Well, and also, too, maybe just by saying he's doing it and just by going through the exercise of doing it will force Congress to take action.
Well, okay. He signed an executive order, so he's not saying anything. He signed something. That's what I understand.
Illegal aliens voting.
What's that?
Illegal aliens voting. And that was the presupposition for why they did the executive order.
Well, I know why. The point is, does he have jurisdiction to do it? Does he have the power to do it? And I'm reading he doesn't have the power to do it. That's the issue.
But are we supposed to have a Republican form of government, and by not having ID and such, circumvents that? And he's the executive, and he can write problems. I mean, I love it as well, but I don't know.
I'm going to read it to you again. I'm going to read it to you again. The times, places, and manner of holding elections for senators and representatives shall be prescribed in each state by the legislature thereof. That means the legislative body, not the governor of each state. But the Congress may it at any time by law make or alter such regulations. So regardless of what he signs, before there's any teeth to it, it would have to have Congress's approval because they hold the purse strings. He doesn't hold the purse strings. So I'm trying to find out what's going on here. I mean, there's a lot of executive orders that we all agree with. I mean, we love it. I mean, we love the executive order, the way he does it, and that sort of stuff. My question is, it's getting to the point now, where's the legitimacy of this?
You know, what if your state legislator is repugnant to the Constitution, which ours clearly is? How do we set that straight? You know?
We, we, okay, could, Go ahead and repeat that slowly because you were a little muffled on your line. I don't know if I'm on speakerphone or not, but I really want to hear that question. Go ahead.
I certainly am on speakerphone.
Okay.
Anyway,
no, if you're on speakerphone.
If our legislature is repugnant to the Constitution and their laws, what do we do to repair it? I think the executive has its right, in my thinking, to set things straight.
Right.
You know?
No, I was going to ask you to get off of speakerphone because it was harder for us to understand, buddy. Not that I don't mind being on speakerphone. It's just I'm not. It makes it a little bit harder to hear you. That's all. And I think you made a good point.
Right. Well, now I'm off speaker.
Oh,
now
much better. Go ahead. Ask that question again, brother. Go ahead.
Okay. I don't know. You know, our legislature is not following the Constitution.
Right.
Agreed.
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 And what is the remedy for that? We can't vote them out because we have electronic voting machines. We don't have any ID to vote and have a clean vote. So how do you remedy this? I think this might be a good path that he's doing.
Well, I'm not thinking it's a bad thing. It's a good thing what he's doing. I'm asking if it holds water. And from what I'm reading with the Constitution, it doesn't hold water because he doesn't have the power to do it. And even if he did do it, I'll throw one more thing out there. If this does end up being something where there's an executive order, would that mean you would separate, because it's only for federal elections, would you have to separate the ballots between local in each county in the United States and federal?
That's been proposed before, and I think it's a fantastic idea if we have to set things right to do it that way.
Yeah, I agree.
It would force them to clean up the voter rolls by far because they're going to have to make sure that everything matches.
Absolutely.
As far as, you know, the duplicate mailings of the state ballots and then the federal ballots. So they're going to have to make sure that everything matches. So the ROVs are going to have to do some homework and get things tidied up.
Hey, Andrew, brother. We love you, but we're going to have to go because we've got another call.
Thank you.
But
hey,
you're awesome.
By the way, I'm not visiting my parents' graves anymore because I now vote Democrat.
Oh, that's so bad. Andrew. Okay, I guess
Jimmy's, thanks, Andrew.
Jimmy's up here. Jimmy.
Jimmy, good morning. How are you?
Help us with this thing here. Go ahead.
Hey, this is above my pay grade. This is something I'd like to hear Mark Levin comment on.
Okay.
You know, but I was interested in this executive order because, yes, the state and the federal are, you know, because the states, like you were saying, can control their own local elections and make their own rules. Now, Trump, it seems kind of like an impotent executive order saying he's not going to give states money if they don't have an ID check, right?
Okay. Well,
think of it. California, New York, all these other states, they give driver's licenses to illegal aliens.
Right.
So what? Okay. It's not gonna have any effect, I don't think.
Okay. Well,
somebody who's an illegal alien can come in and go, you know, here's my ID.
Right.
I'm gonna vote for president.
Right.
They're not gonna do a background check on it. They're not gonna. I don't believe the feds are gonna do some sort of election doge sort of background check on them. So.
Right. Well, that's exactly what we need.
Well, it isn't that we don't disagree with the president. I love the idea. The point is,
the jurisdiction
is Congress.
That's
and
huge.
He doesn't hold the purse strings. So if he's signing an executive order saying he's going to withhold money, can they just say, you know, go jump in a lake? Because the purse strings are Congress. And again, you know, okay, the times and places and manners of holding elections for senators and representatives shall be prescribed in each state by the legislature thereof. But Congress may at any time by law make or alter such regulations, not the president and not the governor of each state. So he can't. How does he withhold money? It's just like when LaMalfa wanted to do that parental secrecy policy, to where if he got that thing through, but he had to get it through the legislative body, because if schools were still keeping the kids' secrets, if he was keeping the secret, or they were keeping the secret, then what would happen is that money wouldn't be given to that particular school district. But the problem is that the that was Congress, not the president. That's my question. How does he have the jurisdiction?
Right, and I think it's going to be null and void. I don't think it's going to pan out because, like I said, if it's legal or not legal, people are going to, illegal aliens are going to show ID and they're going to vote, and there's not going to be any background check.
I hear you.
And I'd like to run two things by you guys real quick. Maybe you can comment on it later in your show.
Okay.
Now, Trump has promised to lower gas prices, right, in America.
Okay.
What I'm worried about is there's all this talk about California wanting to raise gas taxes. So as Trump is lowering the gas prices, or is California going to start raising the taxes?
Absolutely.
Yep, that's how they do it. That's how they do it.
It's a perfect way for them to make more money.
Yep.
Yes, and they could say, well, gas prices haven't come down in California to the idiots out there that just listen to these talking heads and don't think about why it's not going down.
Right. So, I mean, gas could go down to $1 a gallon. That gives them $3, $4 to tax stuff with.
Yep.
And the same thing with Trump trying to stop overtime wages and wages on tips. Now, if he gets rid of overtime taxes and taxes on tips, is California going to go, oh, there's an open door for us to raise taxes and, you know, F over the, you know, people working in California?
Yeah, I hear you. Well, a lot of tips, though, are cash, so it's kind of hard. If you're being paid with cash on a credit card, it's different. You can trace it, but cash, you can't really trace it. Yep.
But anyway, I just wanted to throw that out there, guys. Okay.
Appreciate it.
Hey, thank you for calling, Jimmy.
Thanks, Jimmy.
That helps us a lot, brother. We've got Mark on the line here.
Yeah. Good morning, Mark.
Hello. Morning. How are you guys doing?
Hey.
Good, good.
Mark Beard, how are you, buddy?
Good. Hey, I think part of the argument here comes from the jurisdiction argument is what is the source of the money? If the source of the money is an executive agency, then yes, the president has all the power in the world to dictate how and where that money's spent, and that's why the Department of Government Efficiency has been so effective, because he's assigned people to either withhold money, cancel contracts, award money that's been awarded, and do whatever the executive wants to do through its executive agency. So if these agency, if the money given to states for election processes is directed from an executive agency that is budgeted by Congress, then yeah, the president has all the jurisdiction in the world to either stop that money or allow that money to go forward.
Okay, how do we find that out?
That's the clarification.
What we see in the Constitution, and Terry's read multiple times, is word for word what's in the Constitution. So how do we find out?
Yeah, how does it, and it also says that the only...
Congress has the power of the purse strings through the legislative process. But if the legislative process, in other words, if executive agencies, and a lot of executive agencies, for example, the FBI, was created through an executive order, not legislation. So in theory, the president would have the ability to disband the FBI without even talking to Congress.
Okay, well, here's my question. Well, no, here's my question, though. Because it says the times, places, and manner of holding elections for senators and representatives shall be prescribed in each state by the legislature thereof, but Congress.
Right.
So the times and places and manner of holding elections, the manner would be the state saying we need to look at photo ID, because if that's the case, I mean, that's what I'm reading here. I'm reading nothing but the jurisdiction being of Congress, which means before there was any executive order or before there was any agency, Congress had that power. Congress had the only power to change anything as far as the times, places, and manners of holding elections. So
because the Republican form of government in Article 4, Section 4, the remedy for that is, in other words, guaranteeing a Republican form of government.
Right.
The remedy for that is legislative. But time, place, and manner can mean, in other words, everybody has to go to Sacramento to vote, and they can only do it at 3 to 4 o'clock on a certain date, and the manner is either paper ballot or machine or whatever the hell that's manner. But there is nothing in the Constitution that compels the executive to continue to give money to states who abuse the process.
Yeah, and, you know, maybe because of the jurisdiction of immigration being under the federal government in Article 1, Section 8, Clause 4, maybe that holds water because it does say in Article 4, Section 4, that it shall protect them against invasion. So
right.
It could be maybe, boy, that's a roundhouse, man.
That's also how the Alien and Sedition Act works because the president has determined that this is a coordinated assault on the United States through an invasion or unlawful penetration into our country by large groups of people. That's an invasion. I mean, you know, yeah, you know, you're going to end up with a lot of argument over that, but I can totally see the guy's jurisdiction if he doesn't want HHS, Health and Human Services, to give money to states so that they can screw the electorate out of their lawful vote, then he has all the jurisdiction in the world to stop that agency from giving money to states. He's not altering the time, place, or manner of the election in any way, shape, or form. He's just saying, I'm not going to help pay for something that is prima facie unfair.
Well, then, but if you have something to where you have illegal aliens getting licenses all over the place in California, I mean, everybody can get a driver's license.
Establish that the language of America is English, right? He should have said American, not English, because now we're supposed to speak like Brits, right? Because that's where the English comes from. So with that, they have to read and write in English in order to get a driver's license or to do any other documents in the state or the feds.
Going back to the immigration position.
Right, yeah. Right. So if they can't read or write in English, then they cannot move forward with whatever they're attempting to do.
Now, Mark, I've got a question for you. I always thought that executive orders couldn't really be put into law until Congress says they're going to be a law. Is there like a temporary time for an executive order, and how does that work, sir?
Well, no, unfortunately, there is no time limit on executive orders. And look, this thing's a two-edged sword. When it's somebody you don't like doing it, then you wish there were limits on it, and you wish there were ways to stop it, and so on. And there are judicial remedies for that, but not the judicial remedies that the left is taking right now. When it's somebody good doing executive orders that you like, then you don't want any limits on them. But the fact is that there are executive orders that have been in existence for 100 years.
Well,
you know,
when Trump coming in and abolishing some of Biden's executive orders, right? So until the next executive comes in, that's the life of
precisely.
That's the life of that executive order.
The problem with the executive order is the next guy can rescind every single one of them.
That's right.
Now, the problem for the people of the United States is that the executive branch doesn't seem to go back in time and rescind the ones that have become these creeping octopus, all invading types of things, like the FBI. I mean, quite frankly, I thought in Trump's first administration, with the behavior of the FBI, should have disbanded it. And he had every legitimate authority to do that because the FBI was not created by legislation. It was created by executive order.
Yeah, okay. So I guess the question is that, I mean, of course we love what Trump, we love this thing. We love what he's doing. That's not the point. The point is that does he have jurisdiction? You've helped us with that.
Yeah.
And that was the whole point. But do we like it? Yeah, that's two different issues.
I did have a caller say the 15th Amendment. He didn't want to go on the air. He said, what about the 15th Amendment? And if you're breaking the laws, who enforces those laws? If the states are choosing to break federal law with regards to immigration.
Okay, hold the second question, and we'll read the... Mark, you want to stay on with us, buddy? You want to do that?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, because I'll go ahead and we'll read the 15th Amendment. And then we'll take our break right now. Okay? All right. Time has come.
For 51.
Get it done.
Amen.
I'm a man with a welcome and a face. I've been around for 100 years, caused many a reckless policy. I was around when Jim Crow kept the colored man in his chains, made damn sure the Dixiecrats and segregation ruled the day. Oh, yeah. Pleased to meet you. Hope the change is mighty. But when destruction comes, you know I'm the one you can blame.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Are y'all ready for a good time for a great cause? Well, join Chicks and Chaps at Woody's on Monday, April 14th from 5 to 9 p.m. for the Chicks and Chaps Brewhouse Takeover. We're serving up a limited edition of Chicks and Chaps American Light Lager, plus a special limited menu from the kitchen. And don't miss your shot at winning 4 rodeo tickets in our big drawing. Must be present to win. Come raise a glass and help our effort to help local breast cancer patients, because every sip makes a difference. See you at Woody's Monday, April 14th.
Shasta College will host the last of 3 workshops titled Getting the Outside Garden Ready and Preserving What You Grow. This workshop will be held April 26th from 1 until 3 p.m. at the Shasta College Farm in the greenhouse. Workshop topics will include bed preparation for an amazing harvest, how to start composting, setting up irrigation, growing herbs, controlling weeds and bugs, canning basics. There will be a $5 charge to cover materials and seeds at each workshop. Master Gardeners are also sponsoring a plant swap after this workshop. A garden fair is also planned from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. This family-friendly event will include garden activities for children, composting demonstrations, garden-related vendors, and basic gardening advice. For questions regarding this event, contact Lemoyne Waite at 530-242-2210 or contact Shasta College.
Somebody blew up a building, somebody stole a car, somebody got away, somebody didn't get too far, yeah, they didn't get too far.
Grandpappy told my pappy back in my day, son, a man had to answer for all the wicked that he done. Take all the rope in Texas, find a tall old tree, round up all of them bad boys, hang them high in the street. For all the people to see
that justice is the one thing you should always find. You gotta saddle up your boys, you gotta draw a hard line.
When the gun smoke settles, we'll sing a victory tune, and we'll all meet back at the local saloon.
We'll raise up our glasses against evil forces, singing whiskey for my men and beer for my horses.
There you go.
There you go.
Whiskey and beer. Can't go wrong.
Yeah, that's it. Hey, we got a future, guys. Huh? What do you think?
No.
Good no. harmony, Dave.
No.
That was good.
No.
We sang that in the key of L.
L, yes.
Yeah.
We always sing it in the key of L.
Oh, gosh.
We always do.
Okay, so we were talking. Dave, I want you to, I'm going to read the 15th Amendment, and we have Mark Barrett on the line. We're going to read the 15th Amendment. But go. What was the other part of that question?
If a state was breaking a federal law to not enforce illegal immigration voting, I could say it better, but
yeah. Okay,
they were not enforcing a law, who would have the jurisdiction to enforce that law?
Gotcha. Who would have the jurisdiction? Okay, the 15th Amendment, Mark, the right of the citizens of the United States to vote shall not be denied or abridged by the United States or by any state on account of race, color, or previous condition or servitude. Section 2. Congress shall have the power to enforce this article by appropriate legislation. So where does it say the president? Where does it say the executive branch?
It doesn't.
Right.
But once again, the remedy for this is not judicial, it's legislative, and this was clearly a post-Civil War amendment, and there were a flurry of them after the Civil War, 14th, 15th. And so on.
Yes,
that,
sir. True.
And it was just meant to make sure that freed slaves had the right to vote because it clearly says race or color. It doesn't say sexual persuasion or men and women or any of that kind of stuff, any of the postmodern gripes.
Okay.
But once again, the remedy is legislative. So if a state discriminates against a voter because of his color or race, then Congress can pass a law. And typically what they can do is they deny that state representation in Congress until they stop doing whatever it is they're doing.
Okay, that's a great answer. But again, that is in the president's jurisdiction. Stay with us, Mark. We have another caller on the line. C or Cy?
No, sorry. That says 51 because I'm starting to understand this show. This is awesome. It says 51. We'll come back to it.
Never mind.
We
okay.
don't have
There's
another,
not another caller.
No, line. No, sorry. I was just like pretty excited because I see where.
Oh, he's got.
I think
excited.
I know where this is going.
That's because you sang
in the key of L.
The
in
time the key of L. has come for 51. Okay.
So anyway, yeah. So Mark, you know the deal is that again, that doesn't show me any jurisdiction of the president. And again, this is not me saying we don't want this. Of course we want this.
Yeah. But it also doesn't have anything to do with what the president has
so
done.
So the information doesn't even jive with what we were talking about. Go ahead.
It's not,
gotcha.
It's
I didn't
not
think
relevant.
So. That's what I was wanting. Yeah,
it's not relevant
I'm
because what he's done is denied money over which he has power to spend or not spend, direct or not direct.
Right on.
He allocated to him by the legislature, and he has the power to direct his executive agencies to either spend that money or not spend it.
Gotcha.
And he has the absolute jurisdiction to tell them where to or where not to spend money. And that's why this judicial intrusion into the executive power turns airplanes around mid-flight, bring them back, because you can't just evict illegal aliens.
Gotcha.
And by the way, who have already been under deportation order for committing serious crimes. In other words, Joe Biden issued them deportation orders. All the President Trump did was execute the order that the previous president had put in place on these individuals.
Gotcha.
Because they'd committed serious crimes. Yeah. So now, does he have the power to spend the money to hire an airplane and put gas in it and get pilots and fly them back home? Absolutely he does. Because that money has already been allocated to his agency as the director of the executive by Congress.
So what agency? So what agency would it be?
That would be ICE.
No, I'm not talking about that part.
Okay.
You're going
back to the vote.
I'm trying. Yeah, that's why I've been trying to stay. And then when somebody called in the 15th Amendment, and I read it on the break, and I'm thinking that doesn't make sense. I don't know who called that in, but the 15th Amendment doesn't have anything to do really with what we're talking about. And that could be on us. Maybe we're not explaining this properly. But the thing is that what I'm trying to understand here is that, again, I'm not really hearing what agency would it be? What agency would it be that would have the jurisdiction not to give money to a state for elections? What agency is that?
Well, I mean, we don't know. It could be something as stupid as housing and urban development.
Okay.
You know, we don't know. We don't know where these grants issue from.
Okay.
Is it a national security issue to have illegals voting?
Well, I think it is.
That's why he was talking about ICE. So go ahead. Yeah, good point.
Whether the executive thinks it is or not, I don't know.
Right.
And so it could be Health and Human Services. It could be Housing and Urban Development. It could be the Education Department. It could be any one. I mean, there are about 600 federal agencies. So it could be coming from any one of them. But the president has the absolute jurisdiction to say either spend that money or don't spend it. And if the executive of that agency fails to follow the wishes of the president, then he can close the agency, fire the executive, order a redirectment of that money. It's his to spend.
Okay, so our whole voting system is funded by an agency?
No, our voting system is funded typically by the states.
Okay.
If they have applied for grants, or they are given grants from the federal government, and that grant money is not being, and see, that's the danger of the grant. These grants are poison. They always have strings attached. And if you agree to accept that money, then you agree to all of the conditions under which that money is being accepted and spent. If you do not spend the money according to the whims or wishes of whoever gave it to you, then they can rescind the grant. It's their money. You're in other words, your county is getting a gift, like when George Soros was given the Biden bucks to all of these counties, and I believe Shasta and Siskiyou County got grants of in excess of $1 million.
Yep.
Then George Soros's MoveOn.org or ProgressiveCommunism.org, the grant money comes from them. They have the absolute power to say how it can be spent, and if you don't spend it in that manner, then you don't get the money.
There you go.
No different.
Yeah, and then
the executive branch issues a grant, then you have to follow all of the conditions of that grant, and you have to certify that you have and prove that you have with your accounting procedures. If you don't do that, then the agency issuing the grant has all the power in the world to stop giving you the money. And they're not altering your process in any way, shape, or form. They're simply altering the ability of you to get extra money and spend it on that process.
There you go. Now that extra money.
But we have no idea from what agent. I mean, I wouldn't even know how to find out which agency physically issues these grants, but it has to be one of them.
And that's done by design, so we do need to know who that is, so we know what strings and who they are that are dangling the carrot, so to speak, and we're grabbing onto it.
And that's the danger of the grant.
You may never
be able to find out who's given the money, why
exactly.
They're giving it, and what strings are attached, and that's why in our county we're always cautioning our board, don't take this money, because if you do, then you got to play ball with whoever gave it to you.
That's right, and we had the same kind of thing happening down here in Shasta, and then we had the former ROV and the second in command of the ROV doing contracts behind the board's back, trying to do exactly that.
We have a caller on the line. We have Rich on the line, and I want to get him into this. But Mark, it might be easier if you listen to your radio and hang up,
so you
can hear, and then call back. We have a little bit of a delay here, so go ahead and hang up, call back, and then we'll hear what Stones has to say.
Are we going to start using cans with strings on them? Is that what we're going
to
start doing?
I'm just trying to get this phone system to work right.
I'm here.
Okay, well, hang on a second.
Hey, Rich.
I'm here.
I know. We know you're there, but we're waiting. We have to do a thingy. I don't regulate these phones.
Rubbing two sticks together to make it work.
Yeah, really. You get cups with strings here pretty soon.
Poor Dave.
I know, poor Dave. Right. We love Dave. Okay, anyway,
ready.
Go ahead. What's up?
Hey, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
So, you know, questioning whether the federal government and the Trump administration can tie, you know, federal funding for elections with Trump's recent executive order. You know, the 10th Amendment Center, I mentioned this source many, many times. It is an excellent source. Or 10thAmendmentCenter.com. They've covered this story many times. There's a couple of Supreme Court opinions that relate to this. Of course, it all starts with, you know, Prince v. U.S. 1997. That's the commandeering doctrine where the feds tried to get a state to do something and tie it to funding. And then a follow-up is South Dakota versus Dole, D-O-L-E, 1987. Also talks about the federal government trying to make states do certain things and tie it to federal funding, so there's another good source there. And so basically, there's a narrow interpretation where the federal government can tie federal funding to states to perform a narrow duty. Let's just say it that way. So read those opinions. They're very, very good opinions.
Yeah, okay. So bottom line is that, like Mark was saying, the grant, any kind of grant or any kind of money like that comes with strings.
Yep.
So, okay, so,
yeah.
So if in fact the state of California, which, as we were just talking about, in fact, I think it was Jimmy that brought up the price of gas. Was it Jimmy or Andrew? Anyway, somebody brought up the price of gas. And if the price of gas goes down, it was Jimmy.
Jimmy
drops down the price of gas. Then what happens is, mm-hmm. is that all you know, our prices don't go down because we just throw another tax on there. Couldn't they throw another tax on our gas to tell the federal government? Well, you know, first of all, this would only be jurisdictional in federal elections, so we're going to separate the ballots as a state, and we're going to tax the people who drive through California or in California or going on their way to Mexico or Oregon. Hey, we're going to tax them on all this stuff, and that'll be the money we'll use to do no voter ID, to not comply with that, the executive order.
So basically these two cases that I just gave to you, it basically says if the federal government wants to tailor or restrict federal funding for elections purposes, if the funding's for elections purposes and the federal edicts are elections purposes, it is likely constitutional. If the federal government wants to tie federal funding to the states for something not election related, the funding has to be tied to the restrictions. Is basically the story here. If the
right.
federal funding is not tied to
right.
the exact topic of the restriction,
right.
that is likely not constitutional. And these cases I've already cited to you basically explain that. So it's very possible.
Well, it does, but
this
okay,
is,
just
this
clarification. I'm not going to rush you through
okay,
it.
Okay, I need to finish my point, though.
Well,
it's very likely that these cases are already good. They'll be reviewed with Trump's recent executive orders. And it's very possible it's going to be found constitutional that he can restrict federal funding for federal elections as long as it's tied to federal, elections and state elections.
Right. Well, that's what we were just saying. It would have to.
Yeah,
we separate
the
ballots.
Well, I just gave you the two cases now that everybody can go and research. Right.
Well, yeah, but federal funding,
website.
Rich. Just trying to ask a question. You have all the time you need. I just need to ask a question because we're trying to clarify what you're saying. The federal.
Mm-hmm.
Has the jurisdiction to do that federal government, but does the federal government have jurisdiction by agency, or does it have jurisdiction through the legislative body, which is the one, Congress, who distributes the money? Go ahead. That's my question.
It's just the federal government
right. Okay.
money
okay.
tied to state activities. As long as the topic is in line, it's the same matter, then it appears it will be constitutional. And then the last thing I really had real quick is, you know, my understanding of the federal government, right, there's three parts of the federal government, legislative, executive, judicial. And my understanding is, at least as originally founded, there's supposed to be three equal and separate branches for checks and balance purposes. So, if the Congress, votes to spend money on a certain thing, that money gets shifted over to the executive side, right, in order to disseminate the money to certain federal departments. It would seem logical to me that if the president said, you know, I don't like what the Congress did with this particular money, and, maybe I'm not going to spend it, or maybe I'm only going to spend part of it. I, that seems to me that might be a legitimate check and balance.
Okay.
Anyway,
okay.
That's all I have today.
Good. All right. Well, thank you very much.
Well,
thanks, everybody.
Thanks, Rich. And there's one way that we can get control of all of this, and we can start here in Shasta County. I dare say we should start here in Shasta County. Why don't we live within our means? If we have to be cutting within our budget parts of departments that we know are wasted, that deserve a DOGE exposure, We know that there's money being wasted and pilfered. We know that. I shouldn't say pilfered. I take that back. We know money's being wasted. It's not being spent wisely. When you have so many people and you're so top-heavy with administration, not the workers, not the worker bees, not the people that actually do the work, but people that supervise that. You have supervisors that supervise one person. What on earth? I mean, so how does that work, and how do you justify that? So why not go back through line item by line item when it comes to the budgetary exposure, what they're going to be working on here pretty soon, looking at the budget for the county, line item by line item, and have every person that's in charge of those line items in that room, and they have to be able to explain it. If they can't explain it and justify it, it gets redlined.
What if we had a zero balance budget? So they have to start from fresh.
Nothing wrong with that.
I know. That's kind of what I'm thinking. Because if you just start from fresh, rather than carrying over $2 million, $5 million, $7 million, probation carries over. Holy crap.
And then we're in control of what we have going on here. We don't have to reach out and look for those strings attached, you know, greater than whatever, money bags that always have consequences. They always have a consequence to it. So why do that to ourselves and just get control of it? Is it going to be painful? Can be. Is it the right thing to do? Absolutely. Why don't they do that? I've never understood that. You sit there. I've sat through, I don't know, six budget hearings over the years, you know, when they're doing their thing. And I just question, it's like, wow, they just pencil whip that. They just pencil whip that. And knowing, I mean, crunching numbers, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure this stuff out. Break it down. Keep it simple. Tell us how it goes. Tell us where the money comes from, and tell us where the money is going. And that's why I've always been a proponent for audits, forensic audits that will tell you a lot. And we could clean it up, and we could do that, and we could live within our means. Because the rest of us as citizens, we have to live within our means, and we have to pay our taxes and everything else. Why doesn't the people that are representing us, every elected official, why aren't they doing the same for the departments and the agencies that we elected them to oversee?
Yeah, you know, and I think that's a great point. I think that, you know, and all five of them should do that. I mean, you can't just throw this on Kevin or
I'm not singling anybody out.
Right, exactly, and that's the whole, or Corky or, you know, or Chris or any of them.
Right,
but I mean, I'd like to see, you know, I'd like to see something out of our new supervisors a little more in saying, hey, we need to live within our means. I'd like to hear some of that because I haven't really heard that. If somebody else has heard that. 605-4567, 530-605-4567. I haven't heard it.
Mm-mm.
I mean, most of what we've been talking about in the supervisor meetings have been elections, and I'm not saying, again, this is not me saying this is important or not important.
Right, right.
This is me saying there's some other stuff that needs to get done. How come that stuff isn't getting done? And how come some of the new supervisors aren't going that way? Because if I recall, I think that Supervisor Plummer was kind of leaning toward that they wanted to kind of go and get with the departments and, you know, and
well, the department heads, whether they're elected or not, need to come forward and be in an open public meeting, and they need to be able to answer to the board in its entirety what's going on with their department financially and where they're headed with certain things, and they have to prove their value.
Yeah, zero balance budget.
Right, right.
Why not?
Why not? I agree.
You know, I mean, so there is that. I mean, maybe somebody could talk to their supervisor about that because, you know, when you start off with a gazillion dollars in your department and, you know, and again, I mean, like we heard the thing about the salaries with the DA. Well, we had Rich on the phone. It's too bad we don't have him back again because I wanted to ask him about what was going on with Bridget.
Oh, okay.
Okay. You know, and I know the recall something, but I think one of the problems we have is right now there's some issues, I think, with Joanna in the ROV office. There are some issues that have happened in the past that we've heard about, but there's nothing being enacted on. I mean, why isn't the supervisors, why aren't they bringing that up?
Patrick did when he was
sitting there. Patrick isn't a supervisor anymore.
He did. He brought it up.
Oh, I know he did.
He had the stack of 175 emails proven that Kathy Darling Allen mm-hmm. and Joanna Francescat were trying to skirt around the Board of Supervisors, trying to enter into a contract for
Zuckerberg.
With Zuckerberg. Yeah, for the Zuckerbucks. And they were doing that intentionally, and the language that they used in the emails was very telling.
Well, you've seen them, okay.
Oh, yeah. And people, you know, they talked about it, and Patrick talked about it, and Chris talked about it, and Kevin talked about it.
Mum's the word now.
But nothing has ever been done.
Yeah, what's going on? And then the DA.
And then when I asked about who's going to take care of this insubordination, they said, well, we have to wait for an ROV. Okay, great. So you get an ROV in there, and no action's taken. Because it's insubordination to skirt around the board. I mean, that's a fireable offense. They should have done that. Because Kathy Darling Allen should have lost her job for doing it. Even though she's elected official, she still should have lost her job for doing that. And then same with Joanna Francesca.
Do you think maybe that the Board of Supervisors were thinking it was more of a timing issue?
I have no idea. I'm not
giving you excuses for that. I'm just saying I'm trying to figure that out. And the same thing, you know, with Kathy Darling Allen, the same thing with our DA. We're hearing all this stuff, but how come it isn't being brought out in the open what the DA has done, I mean, more so by our...
Well, it has. A lot of people have come forward saying what's happened to them.
Well, people have.
People have. But that's the important stuff. That's the important stuff, people.
Well, the people are important, but why aren't the supervisors doing anything about it and bringing it forward and exposing it?
God only knows.
And truly. I mean all five of them.
God only knows.
Not just exposing that and saying, hey, this is what happened to these citizens here. You know, what say you? Let's talk about this. Let's have a forum.
Especially when some of these citizens are minors.
Yeah, agreed.
Minors, children.
Agreed.
And here we the parents and family members agreed. And friends or whoever are overseeing and taking care of these kids, and then they get victimized, and then they get re-victimized by the governing agencies here in the county. Are you kidding? That's unacceptable.
Well, I'm just wondering again why. We have a challenge with the DA. We have a challenge with the ROV office. The people are bringing it forward. The citizens are bringing it forward. Why isn't the board using this? Because you know they probably want to.
Take action.
But there must be a reason.
Well, and I can't for the life of me figure out why they would be protecting those things from happening. So I don't know.
Okay. Steve, we have 3 minutes, buddy. Is this pertinent to what we're talking about here? Is this pertinent to what we're talking about? We have 3 minutes.
It sure is.
Okay,
Christ
go ahead.
Christ is spiritual truth. Christ is spiritual truth.
Yeah.
The answer is in Christ, spiritual truth.
Sure.
Deep in every soul of our existence. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Steve.
Thanks, Steve.
Anyway,
you're absolutely right.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Okay.
You got the liberals saying.
So maybe, what's that?
Sorry, I was going to say, you got the liberals saying, if you want to make the elections better, right? And people are trying to make the elections better, more transparent. Oh, you're an election denier. You're a conspiracy theorist. So the court of public opinion is getting swayed toward, you know, it's been getting swayed by too many people as you're a conspiracy theorist. You're an election denier just for wanting to make the elections better. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I know. You're right, my friend. The thing is that if you guys, if the Board of Supervisors has this stuff, man, use it. I mean, people will back you.
Right.
But we're not hearing about the issues. I mean, if there's angst with Joanna, it isn't because she's not ready for the job. I mean, that's one thing that people have said. That
there was a reason they overlooked her last time.
Yeah, you think?
Because they already knew about all this stuff.
Right.
But they couldn't take they didn't take action.
Why don't they say something about that?
Well, Patrick did. He held up those 175 emails when he was chair. He was talking about that stuff.
And talking about Patrick, if you have any gun needs, if you have any needs at all, Jones Fort, 1600 East Cypress Avenue, Suite 2. You can call him at 530-222-3223. They have safety classes, CCW classes. They'll help you with California gun regulations. And Marshall, Patrick, and Jackie are amazing. And Patrick is a patriot.
And they've got a great support staff there.
A great support staff.
They're
those guys
very
are
good.
Great.
Yeah.
Polite, great.
Friendly, nice, knowledgeable.
I don't deal with anybody else.
Nope. There we go.
I don't deal with anybody else. That's it.
Alrighty.
So with that, whoo wee.
Another Sunday.
Whiskey for my men and beer for our horses.
Yeah, don't quit your day job.
Hey, if the state's not going to follow federal election laws concerning illegal voting, I think we need a 51st state.
Yay!
Amen, brother.
Time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Amen.
We keep a close watch on where tax funds go. Uncover scams, the schemes, the undertow. They steal your cash, but now they're in our sights. Because they're lying, we drain the swamp.